It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be seen when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. Time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name.
How great Thou art, how great Thou art. best worship is a mixture of new and exciting music and the old traditional hymns of the church. That was a blessing. Good morning. It's good to be with you in this place of peace. Turn to somebody next to you and whisper to them, "It rained this morning. It rained this morning." And then whisper to them, "And I still came to church. I still came to church." It's a blessing to be with you, and it is a blessing for the gentle rain that fell on this ground this morning. It's thirsty. All creation is thirsty in summertime in Texas, as are our souls. And we gather in this place to hear God's word, to pray and praise and sing together, to share the sacrament of God's table, and to hear ourselves called and claimed once again as the blessed, forgiven children of God. So, if you're visiting with us today, there are some books that'll make their way up and down our rows. Please give us a little contact information on you so we can continue to greet you in the week to come. And as we, at the outset of this time together, a time in which we are focusing on the language of belief, here in this Pentecost season, the long green season of the year, where the people of God have been ordained for a ministry in our own right, where we have been called, as they did on that first Pentecost, to share the faith in language that the world can apprehend and that can get traction and resonance in the lives of people who may be new to this whole idea of faith. So we're taking this opportunity to unpack that language again, and we've begun with the word faith, and we're going to continue in that pursuit today. But here at the outset, let's stand together. And let's proclaim our faith in this litany. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Your word for us is spirit and truth. Teach us a language of faith that we may encourage trust in you in a skeptical world. Teach us a language of hope that we might shine your light and shadow and face. Teach us a language of love, that the world may know your goodness and grace. Teach us to speak in spirit and truth. Your word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. Amen. Grace of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the reconciling love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of life, teach us the power of faith to to confront the challenges and the seeming impossibilities of life. Teach us to wield this power that you plant within each one of us for good, for the well-being of others and your creation, for the sake of your kingdom that is seeking to break free in the midst of this world. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from Habakkuk. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. Moreover, wealth is treacherous. The arrogant do not endure. They open their throats wide as Sheol. Like death, they never have enough. They gather all nations for themselves and collect all peoples as their own. And the word was with God.
The word was God.
We will read Psalm 146 responsively. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long.
Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help.
When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish.
Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is on their feet. He keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever. Your God is on fire for all generations. Praise the Lord.
A reading from Romans. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. For God, whom I serve with my spirit by announcing the gospel of his Son, is my witness that without ceasing I remember you always in my prayers, asking that by God's will I may somehow at last succeed in coming to you. For I'm longing to see you so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, or rather so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as I have among the rest of the Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greek and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Hence my eagerness to proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith, for faith, as it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. And the word was with God. Please stand as you are able for the gospel.
Should we begin? You give us gifts that we should give. our neighborhoods are waiting to hear the good news bringing life. Sing with this cloud of witnesses. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Even if you say to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' it will be done. Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. I invite our young'uns to come forward.
How do you spell Jesus? How do you spell Jesus? How do you spell Jesus? L-O-V-E.
Sing with me.
How do you say Jesus? How do you say Jesus? How do you say Jesus? Love, love, love.
I think that's awesome. And it's so much about what we're about. We don't actually spell Jesus L-O-V-E, right? Because what does L-O-V-E spell? Love. And Jesus is love. If there's one lesson in all of Jesus' teaching he wants us to learn, it is to love. To love others like we want to be loved. So spelling Jesus, L-O-V-E, is a perfect way to spell it, I think. And to say that, how do we say Jesus, love, love, love? Same thing. Because that's a language that other people can understand. Some people might not even know who we're talking about when we say the name Jesus. Can you believe it? It's true. Some people might not even know. And some people might not know what it means to be faithful. We're kind of taking a look at that right now, just so that we can all kind of get on the same page and explore this word. It's so powerful, and it means so much. And I found a little song. I'm always finding these songs or making them up. I didn't make this one up, but I found it. And it's a great little song. And it comes right out of the gospel reading that we had today.
Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains, can move mountains. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains by the power of God.
Pretty cool, huh? Right out of our reading from the Bible. Faith the size of a mustard seed. Mustard seeds are very, very small. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains, can move mountains. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains by the power of God. You want to try it again?
Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains, can move mountains. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains by the power of God.
Should we try and teach it to everybody? You want to try this?
Faith the size of a mustard seed. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains, can move mountains. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains by the power of God. Believe what Jesus said was true. Believe he meant it for me and you. Then look and see what God can do when we pray, when we pray, when we pray. Whoops. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains, can move mountains. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains by the power of God.
I think that's an awesome little song. What's that? Wow, it kind of looks that way, doesn't it? They got little bitty seeds in their hands. And all of those people together with those little bitty seeds, the little bits of faith that are in each one of them, can do amazing things. I don't know if it'll pick a mountain up and throw it in the ocean, but I don't know that that's the point. I think the idea is that the faith that we share, the faith that each of us has, even if it's just a little bit, can do amazing things in God's world. And that's what God is asking of us. God is asking us to be faithful people and do the things that we can in faith by God's power, right? So we're learning. We're starting to get it. But pay attention, because we're going to continue to talk about this a little bit. Thanks for coming up and singing today and for being a part of worship. Appreciate you very much. You can go back and sit with your folks now. But stay tuned. More faith stuff to come. One Sunday won't do it. And as a matter of fact, I think we could do an entire series just on faith. It's so foundational to who we are as a people. It's foundational to our identity in God. And in this time of Pentecost, when we are called to speak to the wider world in languages that people can understand, it's important for us to know what it is we're saying. And words of power that we wield like faith. We talked about it last week, and we got a bit of a theological definition. We got a good biblical definition. Do you remember what it was, how we described faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith has this kind of mystical, transcendent quality to it. It is a certainty about things that are far from certain. And it is an assurance in life that we shall see the things that faith prescribes, even if we don't see them readily apparent right in front of us right now. Faith is that abiding presence and force of God within us that keeps us focused and moving forward on the things that God has identified are the most important in life. The well-being of all people, the well-being of creation itself, and the vital role that God is calling us to play in both of those important spheres. In the well-being of other people, and in the well-being of nature, and the balances, the subtle balances of life in which we exist. So faith is assurance, and faith is conviction of things that are not yet, or things that we haven't yet seen. So we got a good working definition of faith. That's pretty serviceable. And yet we dealt with that ultimately human moment too. You remember? The man whose son was at death's door. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Been there? Yeah, I know all that. Yes, I believe. I am faithful. It's this doubt that keeps washing over me. I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. Again, very human. I don't think anyone understands this better than a good and compassionate God. That doubt comes with faith hand in hand. And Jesus took us deeper, too. Not just content with adhering to a set of tenets or a set of propositions or pledging to a certain creed. Faith is an active, vital force within us, in our lives, in our communities, and in the wider world that God is calling us to serve and to bless. Faith is active, breathing, kinetic. It's a way of being in the world, not just a way of believing. And we talked about Martin Luther's preface to Romans. We heard a nice selection from Romans today. Luther says, "Oh, it is a living, busy, mighty thing, this faith." So true, so powerful in his life. Compelled him beyond personal danger and threats of his own extermination, to hold to the gospel and to proclaim that gospel in truth and to make that gospel available in ways that could be understood by the wider world, translating the Bible into vernacular German. Duh. He wants scripture. He wants the truth of God to be in the hands of the people, and the people don't speak Latin. So what do? Well, we translate the Bible into a language they can understand. That's a Pentecost message. That's the truth of Pentecost right there, is to be able to share our faith in ways that touch ground and get traction in the lives of other people. Because when you do, and you've done this, I know you have, part of the reason that you're here is you've had this experience. And they begin to see that there's something larger than them, and there's something larger than an individual life. There's life in community. There's fellowship in faith that is so enriching, so strengthening, so encouraging, that they would like a bit of that too. Who couldn't use a little bit more strength and encouragement and beauty in their lives, especially in the times in which we live? Yeah, oh, this living, busy, mighty thing that's faith, Luther says. And Jesus wants to take us even deeper. There's more for us to know about faith. And so he comes at us with these teachings today that I have to confess astound me and confound me and have dragged me over the rocks many times. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Oh, I remember hearing that as a kid and thinking about superpowers and, you know, all of the things that my imagination just raced off with in hearing those words, out of a context of teaching, out of a context of a more mature life. And maybe it is that childlike faith that's that powerful that you can move mountains from here to there. But he says it again, say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will be done. And as I go along and I live with those teachings, I begin to think, wow, is my faith strong enough? How strong is my faith? Could I move mountains? Could I throw a mountain in the ocean? Why does all of this seem absurd on its face to me? And I began to realize a few things over time. First, I realized that faith is simpler than I was making it out to be. Faith is not as complicated as I was trying to make it. And I realized that counter to faithfulness, my religiousness was getting in the way, for one thing. And also, I realized Jesus isn't talking about throwing mountains in the ocean. He's talking about something far more powerful than that. In order to understand these teachings, I think we need to know a little bit about mustard. And I think we need to know a little bit about the way Jesus teaches, because we have good examples of both. We have lots of information about both. Mustard is a staple in Jesus' world. Mustard is everywhere. Mustard is common. Mustard is planted. Mustard grows wild. Mustard is eaten. The vegetable parts of it are eaten, even though it grows a real woody, stemmy, branchy bush. It is a part of the diet of the people of Jesus' time, like other elements of its same family: cabbage, broccoli, turnips. And mustard is an incredibly small seed in the array of things that the agrarian people of Jesus' time are dealing with. It's conspicuously small, especially in light of the bush that it gives rise to. Mustard seeds are very small. Mustard bushes in this part of the world, by and large, are very big. Black mustard grows in the Jordan Valley to heights of 10 or 12 feet. Mustard is taller than most of the trees in this region. Mustard is a conspicuous element in the life of the people that grows from something almost minusculely small into something unarguably huge. So Jesus is drawing on his analogy, his symbol for talking about faith, right out of the lived experience of the people. And the other thing that we need to know is Jesus often talks in extremes. Have you noticed this? Jesus says the most scandalous things, huge, outsized stuff in his teaching. And this is a perfect example of that. Well, if you had just a smidgen of faith, you could throw a mountain in the ocean. Is Jesus really talking about throwing mountains in the sea? No. He's talking about the power, the raw power of even the smallest amount of faith to transform our lives and the lives of people around us, clearly. He uses extreme examples and analogies in his teaching because they connect with people where they live and they take them to a horizon of possibility. They show them that even though they feel powerless in their world, powerless against the things that assault them and traumatize them and confront them every day, there is still an extraordinary power that God has placed in each and every one of them and of us. And something the size of a mustard seed of that raw strength that faith brings can sustain us, can strengthen us in the crucible of experience, and can keep us moving towards positive outcomes, even when it looks about as bleak as it can get. And I have to tell you, the past couple of days when I've gotten out of bed, my world has seemed about as bleak as it could get. Because once again, we are destroying one another. And it's got to stop. And something different needs to take its place. Something new needs to be done. And the only thing that helps me know the assurance of something I can't yet see, the conviction of what I'm hoping for, is faith itself. And without that, I am given up to despair, that this is simply the way it's going to be, and the death toll will rise, and the world will become more fractured and more brutal than it was yesterday. So faith that has the power that Jesus is talking about is the gift of God, is the presence of God at the very deepest part of ourselves. And in times like this, it will sustain us and energize us to bring about different outcomes in the world. Jesus uses this analogy a lot. He does a teaching similar, but he says, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? What parable will we use? And here he is just naming his style, his methodology of teaching. How do we compare the kingdom of God to something in our own world, in our own lives? What parable, what dark saying from his Hebrew tradition, rich storytelling tradition, what are we going to use to compare so that we can get a sense of what this kingdom of God is all about? And he says this, it's like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth, and yet when it is sown, grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. And think about that analogy. Let that touch ground in your life as a first century Palestinian who is looking around and seeing these mustard trees, who's planting mustard. And interestingly enough, this smallest of seed doesn't require a whole lot of cultivation. You throw it in the garden. You throw it in the field. You throw it on the path. Jesus does lots of teaching about seeds that land in the path, right? And some grow and some don't. But mustard grows. Mustard is an aggressive plant and an aggressive shrub once it takes its own root and goes from there. This is something that just scattered on the ground burgeons and blossoms. And look at the way that it provides for things around it, like the birds and the animals that nest in its shade. Faith is a blessing that blesses. This is why Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed, because of the power that's captive in that image. Kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. Okay. How powerful is that? Is our faith strong? Could our faith be stronger? Can our faith move mountains? Because the obstacles that beset us, the challenges that are before us in living as the people of God in this world, are mountain-sized. And without faith, they can seem impossible to change. But faith confronts impossibility with the power of the possible. Faith sustains, faith guides. Faith raises our eyes to the horizon and refuses to allow us to continue to just watch our feet take one step after another. Faith has the power to lift us from resignation to what is, to a hope for what can be. And it's there that we can begin to make the difference. Faith is what enters us into the realm of the miraculous. And I'm not talking supernatural. I'm talking about living, walking, breathing miraculous in the midst of our world. That's miracle territory, and that is where Jesus does his traveling and his teaching. Luther also said this in his preface to Romans. He said, faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace. A more powerful statement I don't think could be made about faithfulness and faith. So certain, he says, so sure and certain that a man would stake his life on it 1,000 times, and he was a victim of male pronouns and male identification. So sure and certain that a woman would stake her life and all she holds dear and all she has given life to and all of the ways she's participated in nurturing life with God, she would stake that 1,000 times on this thing called faith. And it's Paul's letter to the Romans. Luther, as I said last week, called it the most important book in the whole of the Bible. And he knew the Gospels were in there. And yet he considered this to be the most powerfully transforming book that he engaged in all of Scripture. And he says this, Paul says this in this letter. It's written to a community that is astounding in its own right. A nascent Christian Jesus movement community that has formed and is seeking to be faithful at the very heart of the empire, in Rome itself. Imagine that. I am not persecuted daily for my faith. And I have to wonder about that a little bit. How authentically am I living it, if indeed that is the case? But one community of people that was persecuted daily for their faith was this group that tried to form and function at the heart of the Roman Empire in Rome itself. They were ostracized and rejected, refused trade. They were considered less than human. They were aberrated and disturbed, which meant that they needed to be rejected by people. They were outright hunted and in some cases destroyed. They lived under a threat of violence and death continually. And yet they continue to gather as the people of God in the place where God had called them. Paul says this to them, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you, all the people of this Roman church, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world, as we are still doing just now. The faithfulness of these people continues to be emblematic for us of what Jesus is calling forth from people of faith today. To live in the midst of the world as it is, and yet to be committed to living as Christ in that world. I long to visit you, he says, so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Listen to that, the communal value of faith in spiritual community. This is not an individual thing. This is not a make it or break it on your own. This is a communal enterprise in which we are gathered. And faith is something that can be encouraged in us by others and by us in the lives of others. This mutual upbuilding of the body of Christ that Paul is always talking about is so important. We're not wired to fly solo, and we don't have great effect as one-offs. But as members of the body of Christ in the family of faith, we wield the power that can move mountains. Amen? You can say amen in here and not be accused of being a Pentecostal. Amen. Amen? And finally, he says, the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. God's righteousness at the heart of community is something that we embrace and engage in faith, and itself engenders faith and strengthens faith. So this is more of God's economy at work, right? God's economy is the economy that says the more you give, the more you have. Not the more you get. The more you give, the more you have in things like love, support, generosity, courage, all the stuff that matters. This is one of those God's economy things. It's faith that brings us together, and faith is generated and strengthened by that community experience that we're having. And then he quotes the Habakkuk reading that Nan did earlier today. The righteous will live by faith. Faith becomes our way of being, our way of seeing. And it's possibility in the face of impossibility. It's peace in the face of violence. It's judicious work for righteousness for all people and for God's creation itself. Amen? Stand together as we profess our faith, the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the day he rose again, he ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Gathered together as the people of God, as people of faith, we are bold to open our hearts and minds to the One. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day, for this life, for this world in which you nest us, in all of its sterling qualities and in all of its dangerous darkness. Bless us with the gift of faith. Bring your faith to life in us, for you are faith and faithfulness. Fan into flames the embers of faith that you place at the deepest levels of ourselves. Hear us, O God.
Mercy is great.
Help us to come together into community and invite new people into community with us, people who are seeking the strength of shared belief and shared action. Help us to live faith daily in the face of great joy and in the face of great challenge. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord, help your faith to spark us to creativity and imagination, to engage the troubles that beset us and to bring them to resolution for the well-being of all people, for the well-being of your world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Lord, inspire the work of this church, Abiding Love, and of all our Austin City Lutheran partner communities and all the faith communities across this area. We pray blessings this day on the people and mission of Salem Lutheran Church here in Austin. And we pray blessings on David and Alicia Brandos in their missionary work in Mexico City, on Tim Sump and all the people of the Peace Corps, on all the people of ELCA's global missions, Lutheran World Relief, Lutheran Disaster Relief, everyone everywhere who's reaching out in your name to make life better and to mitigate disaster in the lives of so many. Hear us, O God. And right here at home, Lord, strengthen and empower the people of this community to reach out in new ways in your name. We lift up today especially Carla and Sarah and Ryan Pavey, Marcy Parker, Jeffrey Page, Helen Page, Daniel, April, Savannah Page, and Coy McCollum. And we pray for Brad Castleberry, for Brandon, for Kelly's mom, for Uncle David, for Diane Schoaf. We pray for the people of the community of El Paso. We pray for Joyce Reese. We pray for Morris Thompson and Laura Blaschke, for Gloria Hayden and Tony Hippie and Danny Santos. We pray for Brian Land and Keith Reach, Barbara Hargis, Verla Cook, Spencer Altman, and so many more that are on our hearts and in our minds this day. We name them before you now in this gathering of faith. Hear us, O God. Lord, faith is a gift from you, and we want to live in that gift. Strengthen our faith. Give us the faith to move the mountainous obstacles that stand between this world and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to be seated. We take this opportunity to gather the harvest of our offering.
He was there
is lost, find him there, find him there. After night, dawn is there, dawn is there. After all falls apart, he repairs, he repairs. Oh, the glory of it all is he came here for the rescue of a soul, that we may live for the glory of it all. Oh, he is here with redemption from the
Please stand and let us pray. God of grace, receive these simple gifts as signs of our whole lives offered up to you, in gratitude for the gift of new life you have given us in Christ. Bless and multiply this harvest. May it serve your kingdom's purpose of bringing justice, peace, healing, and nourishment to a hungry and searching world. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right everywhere and always that we should be speakers of the language of faith and truth, the language that glorifies the God who gives us life, who gathers us at this table and proclaims a feast of forgiveness and blessing, and welcomes all so that none may be hungry, excludes no one so that no one might feel rejected, brings everyone together in that vision of unity that is the kingdom of God. With all who will gather, our Lord takes bread. He blesses it and gives thanks. He breaks it and he shares it out with us, saying, "Take and eat. This bread is my body broken and given for you. As often as you eat of it, do so, remembering me." And in the same way, he takes a cup. He blesses it and gives thanks, and he shares it out with us, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you, for all people, for all creation, for the forgiveness of sin. Drink of it often, remembering me." And so we remember, and we pray the words of the Our Father, as it has been interpreted by our confirmation class. Yahweh, residing in heaven, the whole of your name be blessed. May the beauty of your kingdom surround the earth from within and without. Your work in heaven guide us, providing our earthly needs and spiritual growth. Forgive us so that we may forgive others. Guide us away from evil, leading us to take the right steps. Your power and glory in heaven and on earth be forever and ever. Amen. All who wish to meet Christ in this meal, all are welcome at this table. Those who wish to come forward for blessing are welcome as well. I invite you to be seated. I invite our musicians and communion servers forward. The ushers will guide you.
Thy face. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Please stand as you are able. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in faith. Amen. We pray together our communion prayer. God of life, of all creation, you bless us in this sacred meal. Your provision for all that is needed and lacking in the world. Your redeeming of everything that is broken and wayward in our lives. You have strengthened and encouraged us for all that lies ahead, and you have given us a vision of your kingdom come, where all are welcome, all are fed, and none go wanting. We give you thanks in the name of the one who rises to make all things new, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We have just a few announcements today. Summer Soundwave is continuing and will continue next Sunday. Sunday the 11th will bring Summer Soundwaves to a close. But Josh and Julia and all who have been participating in that, thank you for a great opportunity for our kids all summer long.
Real quick, the kids will be singing, all the kids that came to Summer Soundwave over the summer, we're going to be singing a song on Rally Day. So please come and join us. Kids of all ages are welcome. We're going to be singing Let the Morning Bring Me Word of Your Unfailing Love.
Beautiful. Great celebration and a great day to do it on, too. September the 8th is Rally Day. And there is an opportunity to sign up for T-shirts right out here. The God's Work, Our Hands T-shirts are available. And we also have sign-up sheets for the service sites on the table out front in the narthex. There are also sheets that describe those sites, the kind of work that's going to go on there, so you can decide what you think would be the best context for your family to work in. So take a look at those, sign up on the sign-up sheet so we begin to get a feel for our teams heading out on Sunday, September the 8th. And know that the Mariposa Family Learning Center, this is language that we want to get used to, the name for our preschool and children's development center and family development center is the Mariposa Family Learning Center in East Austin. Work is ongoing there for the refurbishment of the facility, and the leadership team has begun the interview process for a director. So we're looking at good movement happening there as we come towards our ability to begin to serve students. And it all comes from faith. Our presence here today, the way we live our lives in our daily walk, the way that God encourages us, sustains us, and calls us forth, all comes from that place of faith. Listen to it. Let it lead. And God will bless you and keep you. God will make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. God will look on you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Jesus, still lead on till our rest be won. And although the way be cheerless, we will follow. Support, console, protect us till we safely stand in the promised land.
We go forth together, sharing God's love. The peace of the Lord be with you all. Let's share that peace as we go.
Heal my heart and make it clean. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna.